And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, the crime of wine. The crime of wine. That's not too cheesy there. And we'll also talk about the fact that you don't understand. That's what I said. We'll take an examination of the real problem, which usually means it's underneath. And then we'll close it out with an encouragement for building with our words.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Wowzer! Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and my brothers and sisters prevailing. Politics, entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. It took me 1 hour and 10 minutes to get to work today. I think that's insane by itself. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. I could say it faster, but I'm not gonna. Hey, any topic also is open for conversation, primarily because they have told me from corporate, you're not allowed to say it's not professional radio. You have to say it's just radio. Wait, I've been saying that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. But stand by for SRN News.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A meeting between President Trump and Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto has been jointly canceled by the two leaders.
Unless Mexico is going to treat the United States fairly, with respect, such a meeting would be fruitless, and I want to go a different route. We have no choice.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said that the administration would be looking to reschedule the meeting in the future and would keep the lines of communication open. Much of the speculation over the cancellation surrounds yesterday's announcement that the U.S. would commence building a wall on the southern border. Spokesman Spicer also told reporters the president wants to see a 20% tax on imports from Mexico to pay for the wall. Meanwhile, New York City officials say they're prepared to fight President Trump's order stripping funding from sanctuary cities that don't fully cooperate with immigration authorities. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says there's recent history of presidential executive orders being blocked.
Remember, President Obama put forward executive action on immigration, which a lot of us thought was a good idea. And you remember that played out in court over well over a year and a half, and ultimately was not able to proceed.
The White House has confirmed to the New York Times that Vice President Mike Pence will speak at Friday's 44th Annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. Irina Grossu of the Family Research Council says this will force the news media to give the event the attention it deserves.
They've tried to minimize the power of the March for Life, and now they really can't. They can't avoid it or ignore it because the Vice President of the United States will be speaking there.
President Obama had ignored the march while President Bush had spoken to the demonstrators by phone during his administration. Organizers expect hundreds of thousands to make the walk up Capitol Hill to the steps of the Supreme Court tomorrow. On Wall Street, the Dow by 32 points to 20,101. The Nasdaq dropped one. The S&P lower by 2. Oil up to $53.78 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Pastor Ray Bentley said the world is not falling apart, the world is falling into place. You're invited to the Convergence Prophecy Conference the weekend of January 28th at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego with Ann Graham Lotz, Tom Doyle, Robert Mawiri, Bill Koenig, and Pastor Ray Bentley. See what the Bible says about the times in which we live. It's a free event, the Convergence Prophecy Conference the weekend of January 28th. Details at maranathachapel.org.
The calendar says it's a new year, but nothing's really new, right? Life goes on pretty much the same as it did 3 months ago. Sure, situations change, babies are born and loved ones die, but that's not because it's a new year. One day, though, that's going to change, and it really will be a new year. Actually, a new eternity. It's in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It says,
I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
Then it says that God will live among the people of the new earth and heaven.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain.
Now that's something new. And you can experience it if and only if you surrender your heart to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins. We can tell you how at this website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Have we got a show for you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes. Draw your attention, please. Make sure you understand what's going on. This segment brought to you by Excalibur Roofing. Eric and Ingrid Holloway from Excalibur Roofing. Don't let it fool you. Just because it's not raining like it was the other week and just because it's sunny, or if you're listening to this at night, just because you can't see what the weather is because it's dark out, don't let it fool you. You need to know what's going on with your roof. You need to know what's taking place over your dome, Isile. You need to understand that there could be things taking place in that roof that are not good. You want to have Excalibur Roofing come out and do an inspection. Or if you're looking to remodel, or if you're looking to do some replacements or waterproofing, or if you've got an extremely large doghouse and you're just trying to make sure that your little doggy has got a brand new roof on it, or if you've got a 50 million square foot home. Nah, that's kind of big. Okay, if you have like a big, big home and you need some roofing work, it wouldn't matter if it's small or it's big. It wouldn't matter if it's a doghouse or a mansion. It wouldn't matter if it's an apartment complex. It wouldn't matter if it's an enormous office building. Or it doesn't matter because Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered. Get it? Covered. Get ExcaliburRoofing.com. Their phone number, 760-743-8803. 760-743-8803. Their Facebook page, you go in there, you just type in Excalibur Roofing. Or you go to ExcaliburRoofing.com. Get a chance to see who Eric and Ingrid are. Their estimates, by the way, are free. Their work is fantastic. Their spirit is right. Contact them if you have any roof needs whatsoever. We love and appreciate those guys. Another guy we really like, and his wife as well, is Steve Wheeler and Coral, his wife. People that are taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth, and we think that is worthwhile, not just to support in prayer, but also financial support and also any kind of work that can be done. They take the gospel to places that people have never been. When I say never been, they've never even seen other people, other tribes. That's where they're taking the gospel. Their pastors in these rural areas are getting supported through seminary-level education and seminary educations, you know, kind of like Soquel Seminary. And they're also providing clean drinking water for houses and for villages as they go and advance the gospel and help network all these different people and all these different ministries. I encourage you to go to whitefields.org, whitefields.org, 760-846-8610, 760-846-8610. But go to whitefields.org because you see the videos. And the videos are fun to see. You don't have to be a tech genius to go to whitefields.org and look at the videos. You got to have a mouse. No, not one in the corner. Okay. All right, let's get into our DDD, devotional dime of the day, the crime of wine. For those who are searching for the will of God, you're looking for the will of God? I'm going to give you the answer right now. Do I have to look long and far? Nope. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, as far as I got to go. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many people are looking for the will of God? Raise your hand, unless you're driving, then just raise your head. Okay, well, make sure you keep your eyes on the road. Here's the deal. The deal is praying continually, rejoicing always, and giving thanks in all circumstances. And I love it when people go, well, that doesn't mean all circumstances. Right. See Dick Run. Okay, get it? Run, Dick, run. Get it? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can't get any more specific if you're looking for the will of God. People are like, but I want to know the specific will. You want to know the specific will of God, but you're not willing to do the general will of God? Huh. Seems like you're being picky and choosy on what you do in the will of God. I don't know. Maybe God doesn't think that's impressive. I wouldn't. I don't know. Here's we're going to go for backup because we like to go for backup. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the same people that they'll go, well, that doesn't mean everything. Everything. There's two right there. Everything. And you're thinking, well, what do you mean? I'm supposed to give thanks? Do you know how it's going to turn out? No. But do you believe it will turn out because the Lord's on your side? Yes. So you have to wait to the end to praise? You can't praise early? You can't praise often? You're complaining because I'm asking you to praise him more, to thank him more, and you're complaining about that? You think he's complaining about that? Wow. Interesting. How is it that we are able to give thanks in all circumstances, in the beginning, in the middle, the end? How is that possible? Even though it specifically says by command, give thanks in all circumstances, always giving thanks. These are big words. Romans 8, 28, we know that in all things, how many things? All things, seems to be a theme. All things, God works for good of those who love him. He's working for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. The way that you and I are able to give thanks in all circumstances, always giving thanks, is because all things work together for good. This is not math. Although, you could use it as a formula, I suppose. I'm just not doing that. In everything, we're supposed to give thanks. This is God's will for us. In all things, we're supposed to always give thanks. This is God's will for us. This is how we are able to do that. He works all things for our benefit. So you can praise in the beginning, in the middle, at the end. There is no excuse for any of us. But here's what I want to talk about. The crime. I guess we should have Dragnet right there. Dun, 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 dump. Right? Because here's the crime. Being thankful is the opposite of complaining. You're just complaining. I don't like this. This trial is hard. What did I do to deserve this? Why am I so bad? Why are you mad at me? Why don't you bless me with the lotto? How come you don't do this? What about this? Does this sound like nagging to you yet? Why haven't you taken out the trash in my life? Why did you burn the food? Why don't you paint the garage?
Stop whining.
There it is. I should have played. Do it again. Do it again. Come on.
Come on. Stop whining.
Stop whining. Stop complaining. What? The will of God is for you and I to give thanks. You know what we're really good at? Complaining. Oh, we love you, Lord. But I just want to bring this to your attention because I'm not sure you noticed this. In this particular area, I'm not too happy because, and then just fill in the blanks. Because we do that. Should we do that? No. I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to do that, especially when the passage says rejoice always. But we do a pretty good job of complaining, and that becomes a problem. So when we get back, I want to examine why we speak in a way that comes off more as a whine than it does as a praise, that it comes more off as a complaint than it does as a thank you, right? You know, if you had a big wedding or if you had a big birthday, somebody probably asked you to send out thank you cards, right? Isn't that difficult to write? I had a bar mitzvah. You know how many I had to write? You couldn't believe it, right? It's hard for some people to do it, especially when we're so focused on us. When we come back, we'll examine that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The world is changing. Don't get caught unprepared. Join the For Such a Time as This conference, February 17th and 18th at Calvary Chapel, Oceanside. How can you not only survive, but spiritually thrive during these challenging times? How is Israel God's prophetic timepiece? What are our God-appointed callings in these times? Hear powerful, inspirational speakers, including the world's foremost Jewish apologist and radio host, Dr. Michael Brown, co-host of the Way of the Masters TV show, Ray Comfort, and Tom Doyle, the award-winning author of Dreams and Visions in the Muslim World and Terrorism, Living Your Faith When It's Not Safe. Plus, you'll be able to see the world's only complete set of ancient Old Testament scrolls and experience Tabernacle Alai, a life-size reenactment of the biblical tabernacle. Don't miss For Such a Time as This, Israel, Islam, and the Church. President's Day weekend at Calvary Chapel, Oceanside. Only $19 through February 1st. $34 at the door. Space is limited. Register at IsraelNowConference.com. That's IsraelNowConference.com.
C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you."
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Tim Gustafson. British writer Evelyn Waugh wielded his words in a way that accentuated his character flaws. Eventually, the novelist converted to Christianity, yet he still struggled. One day a woman asked him, "Mr. Waugh, how can you behave as you do and still call yourself a Christian?" He replied, "Madam, I may be as bad as you say, but believe me, were it not for my religion, I would scarcely be a human being." Waugh was waging the internal battle the Apostle Paul describes. "I want to do what is right, but I can't." Paul also says, "The trouble is not with the law, it is with me, for I am all too human." He further explains, "In my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And then the exultant answer, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we come in faith to Christ, admitting our wrongdoing and need of a Savior, we immediately become a new creation. But our spiritual formation remains a lifelong journey. As John the disciple observed, "Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." But when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by Sam Rasool, our good friend who will be on Monday. Have a chance to talk to Sam about some of the things that are taking place in the economic markets as well as in the real estate markets. If you are thinking about real estate in any capacity, we encourage you to think Sam. And you go to thinksam.com. See, if you think Sam when you're thinking real estate, then you're thinking, well, you know, I'm thinking Sam. So if I'm thinking Sam and I want to go to a website, but I'm thinking Sam, how would I do that? And then you would just say, oh, I get it. Thinksam.com. That's how I do it. That's how you do it. And you're probably sitting there saying, you know, you've talked about this every day for years. And I would anticipate another years. But I would encourage you, if you or somebody you know is in the process or thinking about the process, Sam told me there are five people in every person's lives. You know the real estate industry, they're almost as good on stats as like the budgetary industry. I mean, they're really into it. They test and flush everything out. And five people that you know in some capacity will make some kind of real estate transaction throughout a 12-month period. It's amazing. How do they get that info? Here's the bottom line. Send them to Sam. If they don't know what they're doing or where they're going, they're not sure who to talk to, Sam is free to talk to. You call them at 858-780-1SAM. 858-780-1SAM. But watch this. Watch this word association. Think Sam. And then you're thinking, I got to go to the internet, though, and look Sam up. Okay. ThinkSam.com. That's where you want to go if you want to deal with somebody who is also a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, who is committed to his craft in the capacity that it is his ministry, and he loves to help people. And he does, and he writes checks to charities all the time off of transactions. You have to love a guy like that. ThinkSam.com. We will see him on Monday. Quick update for those who may or may not be aware. We have our app, which is working fantastical. I did hear there's going to be some improving things coming, and I'm not allowed to say what they are. I've been sworn to privacy. Secrecy is something that you cover that you're trying to hide in kind of a more of a malicious way. I have been sworn to privacy. I just made that up. It sounded good, though. Dr. Tony Evans, Monday through Friday, right here, 10:30, inspirational. I mean, these are teachers that are beyond my scope, teachers that inspire, that dive deep into the Word of God, and you'll have that opportunity to be encouraged, and I would ask you to check it out. Let's get into our second phase of this discussion. We talked about the crime of wine. The will of God is for us to give thanks in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. There is zero question. You cannot get away from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, 2 Corinthians chapter 2:14, Romans 8:28. You can't do it. You just can't. There's no escaping this. I can add 10 more. We are not to be a complaining people. That is what the call is. We are to be a thankful people. And we are to be thankful throughout the whole process. Because remember, Scripture says in Revelation, I am always, was, always is, and always will be there. It's like, just think of it. God always was, always is, and always will be. So if you complain, which part of God in interdimensional time are you insulting? But let's get to it, because we have a sound clip, and we want to play it.
But you don't understand. But you don't understand. But you don't understand.
And that's what I hear. But Dave, you don't understand. You don't get it, Dave. You don't understand my situation. So I say give thanks in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. You say, well, do you do that? I say, not very well, but I'm working at it. But that doesn't stop me from encouraging you to do it too. There's nothing in there that doesn't work that way. And so how I'm saying is, look, we all have very difficult situations. And you're like, yeah, but you don't understand. My situation is just so dramatic. I don't know how the Lord can do anything. So what you're telling me is you don't think you can praise God because you think your circumstance or situation is bigger than God, right? So you don't know why you should give him thanks, even though the Lord's going to get you through it anyway, right? Let's take a look at that in Genesis 18, 10 through 14. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Can I say that again? Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, after I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Here is the answer for when you and I say to one another, you don't understand my situation. Well, Dave, you don't understand the complexity. Well, Todd, you don't understand. It goes all the way here and all the way here. There's spiritual, there's not spiritual, there's economic, there's family involved. All this stuff is involved. We all say that same thing in that same way. Now, here's Sarah, and she hears that the Lord says, you're going to have a child. She does reckon in the Hebrew the word pleasure. I'm worn out. My Lord is old. Now I'll have this pleasure. For those that do not understand, intimacy is not just for procreation. It's very legalistic, and you can't take Song of Solomon out of the Bible. Nice try. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is Sarah did not conceive of her circumstance where God could change it. After all, she's past childbearing. So the circumstance does not allow for her to have something so miraculous take place, so ridiculous. How's God going to change that? And here's the Lord's response to her, and here's the Lord's response to me, and here's the Lord's response to you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you know what kind of question that is. If the Lord Jesus Christ said to you, is anything too hard for me, what would you say? No, no, nothing's too hard for you. If God the Father came to you in a whirlwind and said, is anything too hard for me, what would you say? No, nothing's too hard for you. But when we're not looking at the Lord, we're not in awe of the Lord, we're not acknowledging the Lord, and we're talking about our circumstance, and our face is not looking up, but it's looking straight ahead as we're talking to other people, and we start complaining about our circumstance because it's too hard, we're doing that exact same thing, thinking God isn't looking at us in the face. You wouldn't say to God's face, it's too hard for you. But you would, looking away. And we do it all the time. I do it. I'm guilty. I ask for forgiveness now and forevermore. Inappropriately, I complain about something when I am looking eye to eye with people. When I look up to heaven, I complain a lot less. Maybe that's a big key for all of us. I understand your situation is unique to you, and I don't take that away from you, and I acknowledge it. But all I can say to it is simply, I might not understand your situation, but you may not understand the God that you serve. I'm just going to tell this story and then we'll end with it. It's just one of those stories you got to just give me, okay? So for those that don't know, Michael Moorer was a boxer. And he had a boxing match with an old man named George Foreman. And Michael Moorer and George Foreman were fighting. And I watched this fight live. I happen to enjoy boxing. I don't like some of the other martial artsy kinds of things, but I like boxing. I think there's a little more skill there. And so they're boxing. And Michael Moorer is making George Foreman's face look like a piece of cabbage. His face is puffy, and it's a disaster. And they go through 9 rounds where George Foreman's head looks like the size of a pumpkin. And it looks like Michael Moorer is just going to, you know, it's over, right? There's no way. George Foreman's not even swinging at this point. Bam, 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 bam. I'm sitting there thinking they're going to call this fight any second. They're going to call this fight. Here it comes. They're going to call this fight, right? Michael Moore pouring it on George Foreman. Pouring on. Boom, 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 boom. Then in the middle of the round, I think it was the middle of the round. Forgive me if I'm wrong. George Foreman throws one punch. It hits Michael Moore right in the face, stuns him, and knocks him down. George Foreman wins the fight. For 9.5 rounds, George Foreman looked like a Cabbage Patch doll. His head looked like a pumpkin. But in one punch, the entire circumstance changed. The entire landscaping changed. And George Foreman became the heavyweight champion of the world again. Do you know what? It only takes one punch. It only takes one moment for a miracle to change everything. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the heredity problem that we have in lieu of this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at excaliburroofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
The calendar says it's a new year. But nothing's really new, right? Life goes on pretty much the same as it did 3 months ago. Sure, situations change, babies are born and loved ones die, but that's not because it's a new year. One day, though, that's going to change, and it really will be a new year. Actually, a new eternity. It's in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It says,
I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
Then it says that God will live among the people of the new earth and heaven.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain.
Now that's something new. And you can experience it if and only if you surrender your heart to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins. We can tell you how at this website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger, they are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been wrong.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Tugboat Todd and I did a little review so we can make sure some of the information I gave you was accurate. It was, in fact, Michael Moorer, and he was, in fact, beaten by George Foreman in the 10th round by a one punch. Thank you, sir. And that was in 1994, so that was from recall. That's 23 years of memory. If I could only remember other important things, right? Like, you know, no, like get to work on time. That's a good one. I don't know. I don't see it enough, so I don't know. This I saw 20 plus years ago.
So you're saying your long-term memory is better than your short-term memory.
I'm sorry, who are you? What? You know, they say Christian radio shouldn't be this way. What way? I forgot already. All right, let's look at this. Don't forget Israel Now Conference taking place February 17th and 18th. World is changing. Don't get caught unprepared. This is going to be taking place at Calvary Chapel Oceanside. For more information, IsraelNowConference.com. Very happy to have them on board. And speaking of that, because these guys are connected and related, if you're not familiar, but Calvary Chapel Oceanside being a Calvary Chapel group. And then our fantastic friend Ray Bentley, who's the senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel. He's one of the few people I can talk to Ray. Ray and I get to talk and share. It's just wonderful. I've been over to his house. We've had time prayer, talking, and fellowship. Just a great guy. And they're having a prophecy conference, and that's taking place this Saturday, January 28th, from 8:30 to 12:30. You got Ray Bentley. Okay, he's already, for you guys don't know, Ray is so well-known throughout the world. He's even one of the people that spearheaded some of the Christian openings in Cuba. Ooh, no way. Tom Doyle's going to be there. Dr. Robert Mawire is going to be there. There's just a whole list of people at this conference, and it doesn't cost anything. The event is free, but there is no child care. They're also going to have a follow-up session on Sunday night, I guess. This is a big deal. And so what they're trying to say to you is don't get all freaky. Don't go, oh, my goodness, the world is freaking out. It's like freaking out or lining up. And that's what Ray is talking about right there. I encourage you to check it out. Go to maranathachapel.org. And if you go see Ray, it's a free conference this Saturday. If you go up to Ray after the conference. He always talks to people. And just say, David Spoon said hi. And then he'll say, I just talked to him on a text just the other day. Because that's how we communicate with one another. Great, great people. So we encourage you to check out Calvary Chapel Oceanside, Israel Now Conference. That's in February. The Ray's Conference coming up this Saturday. You got nothing to do. Now you have something to do. So I don't want to hear you got nothing or there's nothing ever taking place in San Diego. That's absurd. All right, I want to go back to this. We talked about the crime of wine, that Thanksgiving is a process that we are called to. It's part of the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's reinforced by Ephesians 5:20. It's reinforced by 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Reinforced by Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Also reinforced by Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 37 and 38, just in case you're looking for that. And the whole idea is that complaining is a sin. Not a lot of question there. And what we did talk about is one of the reasons that we complained is because our situation seems so bizarre that there can be no deliverance out of our situation. And it's like, oh, my goodness, it would take a miracle for anything to get me out of this, which is exactly how the Lord sets up his deliverances. It takes a miracle. You think Gideon won with those 300 men because the 300 men were skilled against 128,000? Or do you think God was there? There's no way to win that. It's an unwinnable. Right. Except if God gets involved, then it's not unwinnable. Well, she's past childbearing. There's no way it can happen. Yeah, except if God gets involved, then there's no way that that could happen. Yeah, except the virgin gave birth because God gets involved. You see, this is the part where we're not putting that into our lives. For some reason, somebody said, well, that's just for the Old Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts through Revelation. Now that we're past Revelation, God's not doing miracles in our lives. Did he answer your prayer when you asked to become a child of the Most High God? Is that not the greatest miracle of all, that you get to spend eternity with God? An answer to prayer is a miracle. You've got to be kidding.
you see it as anything less, you have a little bit of dirt in your eyes. So get some Godzine and clean it out. You don't need Visine, you need Godzine so you can see correctly. All right, here's the real problem. The problem is our heritage. I don't know any other way to say that. You're thinking, what do you mean our heritage? Well, especially my heritage, probably worse than a lot of people, but better than a lot of people. See, it's like it's both sides. Numbers chapter 14, verse 17 through 24. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the earth, not one of those people who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Ooh. Do you know how they treated the Lord with contempt, the children of Israel? They complained. Oh, wait. And all of a sudden, in your own mind, you know, hey, yeah, that's kind of serious. Yeah, that's kind of serious. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. And we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. That is like, what? You see, there's this thing that the Lord doesn't like. Complaining. Because you're treating God and I'm treating God with contempt. It's one thing to come before the Lord and say, help me to do a better job of being thankful and not to complain. It's another thing to genuinely hold contempt for God. And the people that did, who were of the children of Israel, not one person saw the promised land. They were buried in a desert. And it's like, wait. See, it's one, and again, I say this again, we've got to become a praising people. We've got to become a thankful people. We've got to become a people that understands our God is able to change any circumstance. We've got to thank in the beginning, in the middle, of the end. There's no prosperity, anything here. You treat God with contempt, he's going to respond to you, period. More so for the Bible-believing, born-again Christian who knows Scripture. Got to watch that. That's not good. We don't remember the faithfulness of God, and thereby we insult God. And that's it. I don't know. You can't say it any clearer. I can preach until the moon is green. I can do whatever it is. If that one concept is not grasped, we are in trouble. We don't remember the faithfulness of our God. He has been there time and time and time again with deliverance after deliverance after deliverance, answer to prayer, mercy, grace, and kindness, and yet we still treat him with contempt by complaining. Not okay. Not okay. And that's the real problem. We disrespect God when we complain about how he functions as God. And that's not okay. Because we're forgetting his faithfulness and we're telling him how to do his job. And that's not okay. All right, when we come back, we're going to turn that. Because we can turn that, and Scripture tells us we can turn it. And that's what we're going to do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Imagine what would happen if you bought a new car, one that had a beautiful polished exterior and the finest of accessories, but no engine. It might look great, but it wouldn't run. Well, the same could be true of you. You may be orthodox and correct about details of theology. You might even show a certain willingness and ability to minister. But unless you rely on the power, the Holy Spirit, for all you do, your efforts will be ineffective. All of us need the Holy Spirit's power for both the daily routine of tasks in our life and the more imposing challenges of ministry that we face. So remember Christ's words to the disciples, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And again His words, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's how you become a true portrait of grace.
Twelve men went in to spy out the land, and they all came back with a report. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Oh, you know the story, don't you? 10 of the men could only talk about how big the giants were. But Caleb's response, do you know how big God is? Human giants are zip compared to a universal-sized God. So here's your choice. Do you listen to the naysayers, the scaredy cats, the ones looking at mortal size? Or do you listen to the Calebs and the Joshuas? Or can you be one or the other and make it all about the size of immortal God? I dare you.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Is this you? Is this you? I want to be. Oh, I want to be. Close to you.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Really hard to figure out my entry point when my brother's songs are on because I know every word, every chord, every line. And then I get ready to jump in on the show and then I just think, well, I want to hear that. It's so bad.
I love seeing how much you get into it. You're doing the air guitar and stuff. Oh, you're really feeling
great.
It. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
I was around for a lot of that recording back in the day when I was in Phoenix, which I also call alt hell. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Oh, yeah. Well, I was there when it was 118. I don't want to hear anything. It's a dry heat. Not when there's 16 pounds of sweat on the ground. It's not. And then if you don't have air conditioning, and I used to work on swamp coolers in August in attics and on roofs. That was not my favorite time. That's all I'm going to give you. That's it. Not even going to break out the third tongue, nothing. Just going to leave it there. All right, let's wind this down. We talk about the crime of wine. We talk about the reality that many Christians and believers seem to not understand that our God is grander than any situation. It only takes a moment to change that situation. And the real problem comes down to our inability, for whatever reason, to not remember the faithfulness of God in the 10,000 thousand circumstances that we've dealt with him before, how we do not maintain that same sense of recognition and thereby give way to complaint and thereby give way to treating God with contempt and thereby incurring God's response, which, you know, we don't want to do. So I'm going to kind of take a small sidetrack. We're not going to go far, but it's, you know, because I only got so many minutes, but I want you to catch this. And that is the understanding that from that scriptural point of view, complaining speaks death. Now, that's important because Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. And complaining speaks death. That's what happens. When we complain, we're speaking death. We're speaking death to our own joy, our own lives. We're increasing our levels of bitterness. And we're certainly holding a contempted attitude, a contemption against God, which we can't really do. We can't afford to do that. And so we need to be aware that if death and life are in the power of the tongue, as Scripture declares in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue is the power of life and death, that when we're complaining, we're speaking death. Not a good idea. In fact, if you want to get really far into it, I think this is one of the more, it's not a discouraging passage, it's a passage that has more of a warning to it, but in Malachi 2:17, it says, "You have wearied me with your words." I can guarantee you 1,000,000,000% that God is not talking about you thanking him or you praising him. When the Lord says, "You have wearied me with the your words, you have wearied the Lord with your words," he's talking about complaining, contempt, you know, distrust, doubt. He's talking about all the things that go into that negative box that we're speaking. Better you should praise too much than not praise enough, right? After all, you get to heaven, you're going to be doing a lot of praising, aren't you? And I know people that you know, use the phrase praise the Lord like every other line. I understand. And some people find that culturally, you know, uncomfortable. Okay, well, you don't have to do that. But that doesn't mean you can't have more of a grateful, praiseful attitude. And I will tell you something about most of the people that do that. They have a grateful and thankful attitude, more so than most people. I wish I had that more than anything. So I just want to kind of bring it to the bottom line, and that's instead of speaking death, of course we need to speak life. We need to be builders with our words. We need to think life, so to speak, before we speak. In Ephesians 4:29-30, well, basically 29 says, "Don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The only person that's escaping in some of this is you speaking about things where you're speaking against yourself. When you're complaining, you're drowning your own spirit in darkness. Oh, that's a good line. Use that one. When you're complaining, you're drowning your own spirit in darkness. Because it's true. You cannot tell me a place where the Lord says, "You know, that's enough praise. You can stop now. Show me address and verse." I can show you where all the opposite, every element. But we need to have that thankful. Yay. Like, yay, God, yay. I mean, I root for sports teams. I mean, I can't root for the Lord. It's bad to say praise the Lord. I mean, it's bad if you're just doing it on Sunday. That's where it's bad. So I think what I'm trying to drive in or kind of speak about is that this complaining part of us, we got to replace. You know, it's not like you're going to do this perfectly tomorrow, but, you know, the next time you're getting ready to tell the Lord what you don't like, stop. You're not God. He's got it worked out. Tell him what you do like. Instead of telling God what you don't have, tell God what you're thankful for that you do have. Instead of looking at this like God is trying to string you along, like you're some experiment, recognize that he does everything in your best interest. Now, again, I'm telling you passionately, I don't do this well. I can't say that clear. I don't do this well. But that does not negate me from encouraging myself and you to do better. And that's what I'm encouraging. Let's work at praise in the beginning, praise in the middle, and praise at the end. Let's work at praise because praising is better than complaining. One has an acknowledgement. The other is sin. Doesn't seem like it would be that tough to make the right choice. A little more thankful, a little less complaining, or as we used to say, I said last year, a little more wagging the tail, little less barking. Little more wagging the tail, little less barking. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. You'll hear Marty. Then we'll be back at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.